Lampshade Dramas present Jim Halliday's Wife. In next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, there is a very interesting article on the age-old subject of wives that every husband and wife will want to read. It is called Where Wives Have No Rights to Fight For, and gives you a brief word picture of how wives in ancient times, and even today in some unenlightened portions of the world, are treated by their lords and masters. But you will say, here in America, things are different. Very true, we hasten to agree, and wives are very different, too. In fact, we have selected a story of one American wife to illustrate our point. She is Jim Halliday's wife, and when you have heard her story, contrast her lot with those you will read about in the article, Where Wives Have No Rights to Fight For, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world, and comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And without further delay, we present Jim Halliday's Wife.
When Jim Halliday first came to our town some 25 years ago, he got a job as a messenger in the First National Bank. He had a nice appearance, a pleasing personality, and he worked hard with a willingness that soon brought its just reward, promotion and better pay. I met Jim at one of our trip socials. It was the old sweet story of boy meets girl, boy gets girl. We married and lived happily, raising a family of three, building our own home, and taking our rightful place in the society of our town. Jim, by this time, was cashier of the bank. That memorable 4th of July, we were all taken a motor trip, and Jim had unfortunately violated a traffic law by passing through a red light. Late the following afternoon.
Now tell me, dear, what did they do to you at the traffic court? Did they take your fingerprints?
Well, yes, but it was simply formality, darling. Magistrate let me off with a $5 fine.
$5?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose you're up to glad it wasn't more.
Oh, I'll see who it is.
Yes, Mr. Halliday?
Yes.
Peter's my name. I'm from headquarters. I'd like a word with you in private.
Oh, I'd better leave, Jim.
Oh, no, Marie, you stay.
Now, what is it, Miss Peters?
Mr. Halliday, did you ever know a man named Fred Gorley? He robbed a train in Montana.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him? And how come you got his fingerprints?
His fingerprints?
Mr. Gorley, I'm ordered to place you under arrest.
I'm not Fred Gorley. I'm James Halliday. Ask anyone in Glendale.
All I have to ask is them fingerprints.
Jim, tell this man it's not true. Tell him...
You bet it's true, ma'am. He was part of an armed gang that robbed a train out near Helena, Montana. They all got sent up, and he was released on parole. He jumped the parole.
Peter, you must be wrong. He couldn't be Jim. Jim wouldn't do a thing like that.
I understand, ma'am. You're trying to save your husband, but it's no use. Fingerprints don't lie.
Jim, why don't you say something?
Well, Mr. Peters has said it all for me, Marie. It's true. I'm not James Halliday, the bank cashier. I'm Fred Gorley, the hold-up man.
Jim.
Mr. Peters, would you let me speak to my wife alone, please?
I guess I can risk it. Just to make sure, I'll lock the door.
Marie. Look at me, Marie. Do you believe I'm a criminal?
Jim, I don't know what to believe. Oh, but darling, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't hold up a train and rob.
I did do it, Marie. I was mixed up in that robbery.
Jim, tell me, how did it happen?
Well, I was a kid at the time, about 18. I decided I'd bum my way across the country and landed up in Butte, Montana. A man I met there said he knew an easy way of making $500. He wouldn't tell me how I could make the money, said I had to do as I was told. Well, I needed money, so I said okay. So the next night, some friends met us in a car and took us down to Helena. All the way driving down, I heard them talking about the train. I thought they wanted to hop a freight or something. Then I suddenly realized they planned to rob the train. I was scared and wanted to back out. Well, they laughed at me, and one of the fellows threatened to shoot me. They needed me to act as a lookout. I didn't have a thing to do with the actual holdup, but when the judge came to sentence me, he said I'd been an accomplice. I got 5 years. Well, after 3 years, they let me out on parole.
Why did you run away after that?
Oh, because I didn't have a chance to go straight, darling. I learned more about crime in prison than I'd ever learned on the outside. I wanted to get away from it for good, but so long as I was out on parole, people treated me like a criminal. Well, I thought if I got out here, where probably nobody knew me, I'd have a fresh start. I could become a different person. Really, I don't expect you to believe anything I say after this, but so long as I've been out here in Glendale, I've been living the sort of life I've always wanted to live. I've been straight.
Yes, Jim, I know you have.
Well, then you don't despise me altogether.
No, Jim. The shock to me to find out about it. But I don't love you any less. You've been a good husband and a trusted worker. That's all that matters to me.
I'll have to go back to prison.
But then they can't take you back after all these years.
Oh. Time's up, Miss Halliday. I can't wait around all night.
I'm coming. Goodbye, Marie. When the children get home, tell them I had to leave town on business. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Jim. Mr. Peters, he's going with you now. But it won't be for long. I'm going to do what I can to get Jim freed.
Mr. Bryant's office.
Who?
Oh, Mrs. Halliday. Just a minute. Mr. Bryant.
Yes?
Mrs. Halliday is here to see you.
I'll have her come in, it seems.
Send Mrs. Halliday in right away. Mr. Bryant will see her.
James Halliday. Keep coming. I can't seem to get it through my head. Mrs. Halliday?
Yes?
Come right in. Won't you sit down?
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Do you know about Jim?
Police lieutenant just called to tell me.
I found out for the first time myself last night in the office of King Kong.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Halliday. It comes as a severe blow to me. It's so hard to believe that my cashier, the man I've trusted for years, is an escaped convict.
Mr. Bryant, Jim was only a boy at the time. He got mixed up with a gang and he couldn't get out. He was dragged into this thing against his will. He had no part in the actual holdup. He jumped the parole because he wanted to have a chance to go straight. Ever since Jim came to Glendale, he's been a good man. Mr. Bryant, I won't let them put Jim back in prison.
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing you can do, Mrs. Halliday. The law is the law. Your husband is a guilty man.
My husband atoned for his guilt long ago. That's been proved by his conduct these last 20 years. Mr. Bryant, I know there isn't much I can do, but at least I'll make the attempt. I'm going to ask you to help me.
You want me to help you, but Mrs. Halliday, what can I do?
You can talk to the officials down at the courthouse. They'll listen to you. Mr. Bryant, you're a big man in Glendale. You have influence, and they'll respect your request, I'm sure.
Well, I assure you, Mrs. Halliday, that I would do anything I could for your husband. But in this case, I'm afraid it's useless. By the way the situation stands now, your husband's freedom rests in the hands of the governor of the state of Montana. He has already started extradition proceedings.
Well, if these proceedings have just started, there's still time. Mr. Bryant, you could still go to the governor of Montana.
But, Mrs. Halliday, do you realize what you're asking me to do?
Yes, Mr. Bryant. I'm asking you to vouch for my husband.
And do you realize my position, Mrs. Halliday? When I, the president of the Glendale Bank, vouch for a confessed criminal, you know what people would say. They'd accuse me of aiding and abetting crime. Oh. No, Mrs. Halliday, I'm very sorry. I'd like to help Jim, but I owe it to the bank to keep out of this.
It's barely possible, Mr. Bryant, that you might have public opinion behind you. One cannot determine yet what the people of Glendale think.
I can't afford to take the risk. My responsibility is to my bank. Well, these people are depositors, my clients.
I see, Mr. Bryant. I realize that after all, you are a public servant in some measure. But then I can't expect any help from you.
If I were you, Mrs. Halliday, I'd drop the whole matter. For your own sake and your children, you'd be better off to leave Jim Halliday.
Mr. Bryant, how can you say that? You want me to leave Jim because of something he did 25 years ago? Something he's repented 1,000 times over?
Well...
No, Mr. Bryant. I'm paying you to visit the governor of Montana.
You're going to see Governor Craig alone?
Yes, I'm going to plead for Jim's freedom. Mr. Bryant, you said people would look down on me because I stuck with Jim. You're wrong. Jim's made a lot of friends here in town, and people want to help. Public opinion isn't against James Halliday. It's with him. Look at this paper. It's a petition I intend to present to the governor.
Oh? Let me see that, Mrs. Halliday. We, the undersigned, do petition His Excellency, the Governor of the State of Montana, for leniency in dealing with the case of Fred Gorley, alias James Halliday. Signed by Harry Graham, President of the Chamber of Commerce, by Mrs. Gilbert Wilson, Herman Civic Club, Donald B. Morgan, Esther Allen, Mary Stone.
Oh, there's more on the other pages, many more.
Yes. Mrs. Halliday, I want you to add my name to this list.
Really? I hoped you would. And I'm so glad and thankful for your support.
Not at all. It's nothing. This, I hope, will be something. I'm going with you to see Governor Craig.
Have you given my petition any consideration, Governor Craig?
I have considered your petition very carefully, Mrs. Halliday.
And you will help my husband.
It's a difficult case, Mrs. Halliday. Your husband is, by his own confession, guilty of the crime.
Yes, Governor. James Halliday is guilty, but all of us back in Glendale believe he's lived down that crime.
Yes, I appreciate your interest in the case, Mr. Bryant. The president of the bank where James Halliday was cashier, are you?
Yes, and a finer, more reliable cashier I've never known.
Governor Craig, it's in your hands whether or not my husband goes back to prison. He was guilty, yes, but he was only a boy at the time. His home conditions, his associates, everything forced him into it. And after the crime had been committed, after he'd become more deeply involved with criminals in prison, he had enough strength of character to want to go straight.
He was out on parole.
It was true he was wrong to escape from the parole board. He should have waited. But the urge to begin all over, to start out in a new place, there's a new person was too strong for him. Can't you understand?
Governor, I would like to impress upon you that for 20 years, this man has been leading a good, respected life. As cashier in my bank, he's handled large sums of money. Never at any time have I had any occasion to discuss.
Governor Craig, a man who's conquered his past is entitled to leniency. Why do you put men in prison? For revenge? No. Because you want to change them into useful citizens. Well, here's a man who's worked that change for himself.
Still, Mrs. Halliday, a criminal is a menace to society. Fred Gawley is a criminal. He owes a debt to society, and he's expected to pay it. We try to prevent crime by example, you know.
If it's an example you want, Governor, where can you find a better example than James Halliday? He's accomplished by himself what the Department of Justice is trying to do for other men.
Very true, Mr. Bryant, very true. But the law demands that Fred Gawley, criminal at large, serve his complete term.
Governor Craig, the man you put back in prison will not be the same man who committed the crime. Physically, Fred Gawley and James Halliday are the same person. Psychologically, they're poles apart. My husband changed not only his name, but his personality. Your police have arrested not Fred Gawley, the criminal, but James Halliday, the respected citizen.
Mrs. Halliday, what you've just said now, in changing his name, he changed his personality.
Yes.
Let me think. I'm beginning to see things from your point of view.
Oh.
Why, it's almost like putting an innocent person in prison.
Of course.
One moment, please, while I phone. Hello, Barton. Send this message over to the Justice Department. Extradition proceedings against James Halliday to be dropped. I don't think it would serve any useful purpose to put Gawley back to prison. He should be released immediately. Yes, that's all. Well, Mrs. Halliday, does that satisfy you?
Oh, yes, Governor. Makes me very happy. And I'm deeply grateful. Jim's sake. You saved a good man, Governor Craig. That is my story. The story of Jim Halliday's wife.
Thank you, Mrs. Halliday. I think your story will be quite a contrast to the stories of less fortunate wives to be found in the very interesting article, Where Wives Have No Rights to Fight For, which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Stage Dramas present Old Professor, Please. For this week's front page drama, Old Professor, Please, is an original dramatization based upon a very amusing article to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, under the title, So Lonely the Island Maids Have to Steal Their Men. It is but one of the many worthwhile and entertaining features to be found in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This week's front page drama, Oh, Professor, Please, is another one of those almost